We're going to look at three verses this morning. And I titled this message, Praying for the Ministry of God, and that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at two things. First of all, Paul gives characteristics of what our prayer life should be. And it doesn't matter if you're a missionary, a pastor, a deacon, a regular attender. We all have the same responsibility in our characteristics of prayer. And then Paul is going to be very specific on what he wants us to pray for. Let me just give you a little intro here. Chapter 3, starting in verse 18 and through the end, actually through chapter 4, verse 1, Paul addresses several different family types. For example, he talks to wives in verse 18, and he tells them to submit to the husbands. He talks to husbands, and he tells them to love their wives. He talks to children, and obey your parents. Fathers, provoke your children not to anger. Servants, obey in all things. And then he ends in chapter 4, verse 1, and he says, Masters, give to your servants what's just and equal. He addresses every kind of life that you could have at that time. Everybody is addressed there. And he tells them what they need to do. And then in verse 2 of chapter 4, it didn't matter what part of life you are, if you're a child or an adult, a husband, a wife, a servant, a master. In chapter 4, verse 2, he's going to address them and tell them how they need to pray. So we're going to look at the characteristics of prayer here. And the first one he says is continue earnestly. Let's read the passage together. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We see some characteristics here, and the first characteristic that Paul presents is there in verse 2, and he says, continue. Continue in prayer. The idea of that word is to continue earnestly. It is to continue without wavering towards something. It is making it a priority, and there's nothing that's going to take you away from that time of prayer. The apostles did it quite often. I'm going to just mention several verses to you, but Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were studying the Word of God. They continued steadfastly in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. At that time, they probably met daily. They didn't tell us how many times they met, but they were getting together to study the Word of God. They were getting together to fellowship. They were getting together to break bread, and they were getting together to pray for the ministry that they were doing, to pray for the needs around them, to pray that the gospel will be spread all over the place. And that's what the apostles were doing. And even in times of persecution, they continued to pray. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And we can go through many verses that tell us that we must continue in prayer, and that should be our priority. But let's go back to Colossians 4, verse 2. Paul says, continue in prayer. Make it a priority of your life. Nothing's going to distract you. I read a book that I liked in college. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Don Whitney wrote that, and he says this, You know you are devoted when you make something a priority, when you will sacrifice for it, when you will give time to it. You know you are devoted when you make something a priority, when you will sacrifice for it, when you will give time to it. And that's what Paul's telling us here with that word continue. He's saying make prayer a priority in your life, something that you're willing to sacrifice to do, something that you're willing to take time to do, and make it a priority in your life. I was thinking about this, and I was born and grew up in Argentina, and many of you know that in Argentina, we love soccer, right? Did you know that? Well, if you didn't know that, we love soccer down in Argentina. Every 4 years, there's something that's called the World Cup. You may have heard of that. It's one of the biggest, number one, I think, in all the sports as far as people watching it all over the world, but there's a big tournament. All the teams get together. It goes for about 4 weeks. You know, and you want to win the World Cup so that you can brag for 4 years that your team won. And Argentina's pretty upset because we've made it second in the last, you know, in the last World Cup, so we were really upset about that. But Argentina loves soccer. And you know what? They make soccer a priority in their life. You know how I know this? When I was a young kid, I went to the Argentine school system. I think I was in about, it was third grade. And we were there, and the game was going to be on at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so we went at 8 o'clock to school, and we did all the work we needed to do from 8 to 9. And then at 9, the teacher said, okay, put your books away. Turn on the TV. We're going to watch the soccer game, okay? And before you think that's outrageous, every other classroom was doing the same thing. The principal was in the classrooms with us watching the game. The whole school shut down because Argentina was playing soccer. If you go to, if you're like, oh, I don't really want to watch soccer, but I need to fix something in my house, I'm going to go to the hardware store. Guess what? They'll be open, depending on what time they're playing, but they're not going to help you. You know, you're going to go in there, I need this. Well, you got to wait till the game's over, okay? Why? It's a priority for the whole country of Argentina. Everybody quits what they're doing. They stop. It doesn't matter if you're at work, if you're at school, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter if it's 3 in the morning and there's a game on, because sometimes the games are on at that time. The whole country will stop what they're doing to watch the soccer game. Why? Because they love soccer. Because it's a priority for them. And that's the idea Paul's giving us. He's not talking about prayer or soccer. He's talking about something that's way more important. But he's saying, make it a priority where nothing is going to distract you. Nothing is going to take away from your time and prayer. And maybe you're like me. When I hear a good message on prayer and how I need to devote time, I sit there and I think, I need to do that. I'm going to do that. You know what I'm going to do? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and make it a priority, and nothing's going to distract me. And I get up the next morning, and I'm like, I need to do that. And what happens? We say life happens, right? But other things happen that take a priority over prayer. And usually, if you're like me, there are many things that can easily take you away from prayer. And so decide right now that you're going to do it and make it a priority. That's what Paul's saying. Make prayer a priority in your life. Continue earnestly. The second characteristic he gives us is in the same verse. It says, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. He's saying, be vigilant. Make continuously. Be vigilant. Be paying attention to your surroundings. That's what he's saying. The idea he's giving, as you're praying, pray for the needs around you. Pray for the things that are going on. They may be physical needs. They may be health needs. They may be financial needs for others. In this context, he's not talking about those things specifically. He's going to talk about pray for those that need the gospel. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But Paul says, be vigilant, be attentive, watch for the needs around you. Don't just pray for your own needs, pray for things that are going on around you. You know, Argentina, and like every big city, even here in the U.S., there are times where it's not safe, right? It's pretty dangerous. And usually in the daytime you're okay, although sometimes you still got to be careful, you got to be paying attention. But one of the things, and I don't like to scare my kids, but one of the things that we're very serious about, when we pull up to our house and we park the car on the street, if it's nighttime, we will go slowly around the house. We check to see if there's anybody around that looks suspicious. And if there is somebody, then we'll go around the block until they're gone or whatever. And we tell our daughter Emily is 9, and we say to her, as soon as I park the car, you open the door really quickly. We run to the door, we unlock the door, and we run into the house. We trust the Lord, okay? These missionaries don't trust the Lord. But at the same time, it can be dangerous sometimes, and really a thief can, they're ready. They're ready to go. So what do we teach her? We teach her to be vigilant, to look around at the surroundings to see if there's something there, and then we rush for the door, we go inside, we lock the door behind us, and the Lord has protected us once again. But the idea here of the passage is, in prayer, be vigilant. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to, maybe you're at work and you know somebody needs the Lord. Pay attention to that. Pray for that person. Pray for the needs they have. Pray for open doors to be able to preach to that person, to share the gospel with that person. Pray at your school or wherever it might be. You're vigilant. You're seeing the needs around you and you're praying for them. And you can say, I'm praying for you. And pray that they know the Lord, which we're going to get to in a second. The third characteristic And I think I stopped there, yeah. The third characteristic is giving thanks, and we find that in the same verse. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, this is my favorite part of the verse. You know, Paul doesn't say here, be thankful, although that's what he's saying, but he doesn't say, be thankful when the Lord answers your prayer the way you want it to happen. Doesn't say that, does it? It says when you're praying, when it's a priority in your life, when you're looking around at the needs around you, be thankful before the Lord answers. Now, sometimes the Lord answers the prayers the way we want them, and we say, praise the Lord. Sometimes the Lord doesn't answer the prayer we want them, and we'll say, some will say, praise the Lord, you know, and but you're a little doubtful sometimes because you want it a certain way. I'm going to learn to trust the Lord. But Paul here is saying, be thankful before the Lord even responds. Now, why is he saying that? I think what he's saying here is, we can trust the Lord because the Lord is the only one that can answer our prayer. The Lord is listening to us. He cares for us. He wants the best things for us. He's going to answer according to His will. And so Paul is saying, when you're praying, be thankful that you serve an all-powerful God that's going to answer your prayer. That's what he's saying. Be thankful. So when you make prayer a priority, it doesn't matter if the Lord's going to answer your prayer the way you want or not. You should be thankful because God's listening and He knows what's best for you. And so Paul is saying, be thankful that you serve such a wonderful God that He knows what's best and He's going to answer your prayer the way. Now, does that mean I don't pray for specific prayer requests? No, we pray for those things. We look for the needs around us. But when you're praying, you say, thank God that He's all powerful and He loves me and He's listening and He's going to answer in the best way possible because He is a perfect God that knows all things. So Paul says, to all these different areas of your life, he says, make prayer a priority. Look for the needs around you, no matter what setting you have in your life, and be thankful. Doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, be thankful because God answers prayer, and God is powerful, and God knows the best thing for you. That's the characteristics of prayer. Let me share with you the second, is the object of their prayer, and we find that in verse 3. Paul says, with all praying also for us. Now, Paul and the other people that traveled with him, right, on the different missionary endeavors, he said, pray for us, pray for the people that are doing the ministry, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, we're going to talk about the open door in a moment here. But Paul says, pray for us. And one of the things that I find convicting in this verse, and you should too, is that Paul says, pray for us, that God would give us opportunities to share the gospel. And then at the end of verse 3, he says, for which I am also in bonds. See, Paul was sharing the gospel, and because he was sharing the gospel, he was put in jail. Now let me tell you about the jail he was in. Today, you don't want to be in jail, but there are lots of benefits that Paul did not have. For example, and I know that it's like that in some places here, some people want to go to jail because they cover your health insurance, right? In Argentina, they want to go to jail so that they'll do this important surgery that they can't afford, so they do some crime, so that they'll go to jail and then the government has to pay for it. Have you ever heard of that? Paul didn't have anything like that. He had bad eyes, right? And he wasn't over there having laser surgery or anything like that. They have heat, they have air conditioning, they have meals all the time. It's not a wonderful place. I'm not saying go to jail. I'm saying it's not what Paul's talking about. Paul was in a crummy little place with poor lighting, probably didn't get a lot of food. This was a place that he was suffering. This wasn't a nice place where he was watching cable TV. He was suffering for the Lord there. And if you and I were in jail, the first thing I would think of is, Lord, I want to get out of jail. Get me out of jail. You know, open the door so I can leave. Now, Peter was in jail, and the Lord opened the door for Peter to leave, right? But Paul didn't have that. And Paul's not saying, pray for me to get out of here. He's saying, Pray for more opportunities to share the gospel, even though that's the reason I'm here in jail. That's the reason I'm in prison. Now, that's very convicting to me, because like I said, if I was in jail for sharing the gospel, my first reaction would be, Lord, get me out of here. And Paul says, pray for open doors. Pray for us. Pray that we'll be encouraged in here, but pray that we'll continue to do the ministry. Now, let me just show you some pictures. You've been praying for us and have supported us now for 10 years. And let me just show you some pictures, and this is our family. Romina and I, well, that's not our family. There we go. They're suffering in Argentina for the Lord in prison. This is our family. My wife and I are here today, but our two daughters are down in Florida, Tampa, Florida. They're enjoying some time with my mom and my sister there. And so that's Emily. She's 9 years old. And Megan, she's 15 months old. And actually, we were planning on being here last year, and I had scheduled everything, and then we heard news that Megan was on her way, so I canceled that, and now we're here again today to share. But pray for our ministry there. You have done that faithfully, and hopefully you'll get a better idea here as I go through the pictures. But pray for our family. Pray, you pray for my parents, and you pray for my brother and our whole family extension. But pray, as we continue to serve the Lord there, for the challenges that we face, similar to the ones you face. But pray that we will be faithful in sharing the gospel. Before I get to prayer requests, let me share with you some answered prayer, so that you're encouraged on what the Lord has done these past years. First of all, and you may recall from prayer letters just throughout the years, we minister in Florida, Vicente López, which is a suburb of Buenos Aires. It's a upper-class area, one of the most expensive places actually in the Buenos Aires area that you can live in. And there are lots of churches. They no longer share the gospel, and so the Lord led us to this place in Vicente López. Now, you know through my parents' ministry that they have started, this is the fifth work, but they've started four churches, and the Lord has provided the funds for every building. Well, every building was less than a third of what it would cost in this area. And so we said, Lord, we believe you want us in this area. We believe it's really expensive to work in this area, but we know you're going to provide. And so I'm not going to go through the whole story, but the Lord provided the finances to buy a building in that area, and it was right to the penny. The Lord provided the finances so that we could get a church in Florida, Buenos Aires. And so that's answered prayer. Now, about 5 years ago, we were praying for that. I think it was six now. 6 years we were praying for that, and the Lord provided that, and now we have a place to serve there at the church. We had a building, and we didn't have a church sign. And so people were like, beautiful building. Before us, there were squatters in the building for about a year. Before that, there was a police. It was like a police. It wasn't a police station, but they did different classes for the policemen. And so everybody had a wrong idea what the building was. So we said, okay, we need a church sign that identifies us as a church. And so we didn't have any finances because we spent everything on the building. You know, how could we do that? And the Lord provided a sign that has drawn people to come to our services. And so this is an answered prayer as well. The Lord provided a congregation. When we first started, it's been 2.5 years ago now that we've started our services on Sunday. And we have been going to the church in Don Torquato where my parents are at, where we grew up. And we were there, and we said, okay, it's time to go. We're going to go with some families. Well, we were 13 total that decided to go to the church here to minister. And so we had a small congregation. We had lots of gifts, right, for the church, and everything was fine. Well, now the Lord has given us a congregation that has grown to 25 people. And so it's been slow. We already knew it was going to be slow. It's the area. It's different things. And obviously, we've got to rely on the Lord for the answer to prayer, that the Lord will multiply our congregation. But this is answered prayer that we've grown to 25 people, and we thank the Lord for every single one of those people that have joined us, and we're praying for many more. Let me just very quickly go through some pictures. This is Claudio Nester. Claudio is a deacon in our church and serves with his family faithfully. Jose, Luis, and Rosita. And Rosita, you might remember from the prayer letters, she's the teacher of the knitting classes. And so she's the one that knows all about that. I have no idea, so thank the Lord for her. Or we'd be knitting some horrible, horrible things. But this is Ani. Ani lives around the block from the church, and she comes. She hasn't been there for a month now, but she was sick with hepatitis down there in Argentina. But she comes to our church as well. This is Juan and Virginia. Juan and Virginia also, they saw the sign for the knitting classes, saw the sign of the church, came one Saturday for knitting, and then they've come to our church on Sundays and rarely miss. And so we're thankful for them as well. And then we have the Berutis. Berutis came with us when we first started from Don Torquato. And then I have Renato and Magali. Magali is Claudio and Esther's daughter. And then her boyfriend, Renato, and he's been coming to our church for about 6 months. And so these are answered prayers, really. We're ministering to each one of these families, but the Lord has brought them to join our team there as we minister in Vicente López. One of the things that missionaries always pray for is a national pastor, right? That's one of the main things. We want a national pastor to leave in charge or to work with or whatever. And the other thing that I found, and I know that pastors know about this, but one thing that is very important is to have a good friend in ministry. A friend that you can talk to when you're going through challenges or difficulties. The life of a pastor many times can be lonely. I mean, I can talk to my dad, I can talk to my brother, and we do. We have a lot of fellowship there, but it's good to have a good, close friend. And I said to the Lord, I'd like to have a good friend that I can minister with. And so this is Javier Fernandez. Javier Fernandez actually came to the Church of Don Torquato in 2010. He was looking for a church that was preaching the Word of God. His church no longer did that. And so he ended up showing up there, and almost immediately we became really good friends. We're the same age, and we have a lot of things in common. And so this is an answer to prayer. The other thing is, since 2010, the Lord has called him to full-time ministry. And so there's his family. That's Javier and Ana. And then the kid in the Batman shirt is Eleazar and Noah. And so we praise the Lord that the Lord, they started in March. They came to our church. He wants to be in ministry. He's been doing a great job in our church. He does all the music, which is good because before that I was leading. And if you've ever heard me sing, you'd be like, praise the Lord that the Lord provided somebody else that can sing. You know, that's what my, okay, we'll leave it at that. But that's how it is. I can't sing. So this is the answer to prayer on several levels. Now, I don't know if tomorrow, you know, a day, whenever we leave, if Javier's going to be in charge of the ministry there. I don't know if he's going to go start another work. We don't know. But right now, he's using his gifts and abilities in Vicente López and has been a great addition to our team and really has been a great addition to the ministry there. And matter of fact, he's preaching right now in the church there to the members there. And so we're thankful, and that's answered prayer for the Fernandez family. It's Javier Fernandez. Back to verse 3. The object of their prayer, Paul says, pray for us, those sharing the gospel. And secondly, he says, pray for open doors. He said, pray, verse 3, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. That God would open doors so that we can preach the gospel to other people. Now, many times we ask for prayer requests, and I don't know if it's like that here, but many times when you say, anybody have a prayer request? Number one, it's health issues. It's different things that are going on with the family, with the job. But seldom do we ever pray for open doors to share the gospel. That's like, okay, we'll ask for that, but that's usually at the end of our list. Paul here is saying, make that the main thing. Pray for us. Not that we're comfortable. Not that we eat. Not that we get out of jail. He says, pray for open doors. And so if I'm in jail, pray that the Lord will use us to share the gospel with the guards and with the different people in there. If I'm at my job, pray that the Lord will use us to share the gospel. If I'm at school, pray that the Lord will use us to share the gospel. Wherever you are in your life, Paul is saying, pray for open doors to share the gospel. Let me share with you a few open doors in Argentina, some requests for the future. You've heard about this and you've already prayed for us, but this is the knitting class. And like I said, I don't participate in the knitting class, and we praise the Lord for that. But In the knitting class, we said, how can we reach people in this community? And so Rosita said, well, I know how to knit. And I said, okay, there we go. That's one ministry there. So, and the other thing you need to understand is nobody would ever, ever step into a Baptist church in Argentina, especially this area. It's very Catholic. So they would have nothing to do with us, and they think we're weird. So we say, okay, let's invite them to a knitting class. They get to know us, and then they'll know that we are weird, right? We will confirm it, but not as weird as they think. And we will develop a relationship, get to know them, and be able to share the gospel. And so that's what we did. There's about 7 to 8 ladies now that come on a weekly basis, and we've had this now for 2.5 years. This is Elcira. Elcira is a devout Catholic. She's been Catholic her whole life, would have never stepped into a Baptist church. She was invited to knitting class. She never, ever misses. She comes to all our activities. We'll have a Christmas musical, and she comes to that. She'll come to the ladies' tea, and she comes to the knitting class every week. Now, she believes she's saved, because a lot of Catholics believe that we believe the same thing, right? We don't believe she's saved. Pray for her. On the other side, we have a really good relationship with her, and we continue to share the gospel with her. We continue to pray for open doors, and the Lord has given us open doors. Now pray with us that Elcira will receive Christ as her personal Savior. She's heard the gospel, and pray that the Lord will work in her life. Now, if we didn't do the knitting class, we probably would have never met Elcira. But the Lord provided the knitting class, and she came. Almost exactly the same story. This is Isabel. Isabel, as well, came to our knitting class, has been there. She doesn't come as much as Elcira, but she's been continuous in attending. And she comes Catholic and has come to other activities, has heard the gospel. Pray for Isabel, that she'll receive Christ as her personal Savior. And then this year, we have a young lady that goes to my parents' church that was saved about 5 years ago. And this is her mom, Marta. And we're about 20 minutes away from Don Torcuato. Now, Marta lives in Don Torcuato, and she's been going through a lot of depression issues and going to several psychiatrists, psychologists, everything she can do to try to fix her problem, and obviously that hasn't happened. And so her daughter said, why don't you go to the knitting class? It will calm you down, right? And so she said, no, she would never go to Don Torcuato. She doesn't want to go to church, but she decided to go to the knitting class in our church. And so she comes to the knitting class, and we get to find out all about her daughter. She tells us everything that there is to know about her. But she comes to the knitting class. We were able to share the gospel with her. She doesn't know the Lord as her personal Savior, but we're praying that she'll receive Christ as her personal Savior. So pray with us for Marta. She would have never went into a church. She didn't want anything to do with any of us. For years, her daughter has been saved and going to church and everything and wanted nothing to do with us. But now there's an open door. Pray that Marta will receive Christ as her personal Savior. I need to get going here a little quicker. Another thing that we said, my wife and I sat down and said, what can we do to share the gospel in this area? Well, it's an upper class area, which means they usually are studying English. And they do the British English, okay? I never understand anything that they're saying because they have the Argentine accent with the British English, and we usually laugh because we don't understand anything. But however, we said, and I'm not very good at grammar, I'm not going to teach them English, but I said, let's do conversational English classes. They'll come and we'll talk. And so we started that the first year that we, or the first 6 months that we did it. We only had 2 people, but we invested in those 2 people, got to know them, developed relationships, shared the gospel with them. And then this year we've had 7 students that have come. And we've had great opportunities. Sometimes we talk about their families. Sometimes we talk about business. Sometimes we talk about education. And sometimes we talk about the Bible. But in every situation, we're developing relationships that give us opportunities to share the gospel. And we've been able to share the gospel with every single one of the students that have come. So pray with us. It's an excellent tool to share the gospel, to once again, to show them that we are not as weird as they think we are. We're normal people that love the Lord and pray for their salvation, which is the most important thing. And so we've used this ministry to reach people in that community. One of the things that I liked doing as a teenager was playing roller hockey. My brother and I played all the time, and I beat up on my brother. He was younger than I was, and I was always bigger. So I still beat up on him every time I can. But in this community, roller hockey is really an upper-class sport. And so I said, well, I haven't played for 10 years, but I guess I'll go back. It will give me a great opportunity. So I started playing hockey again. And let me tell you, it's one of the worst places, the filthiest, sinful places I've ever been in my life, in one of those locker rooms. Conversations are not godly. Their lives are not godly. As a matter of fact, they want nothing to do with the Lord at all. However, the Lord said, go to the world and share the gospel. And so my brother and I are on two teams in Argentina. We go in there to be a light and a testimony to the unsaved. Now, we have interaction with about 25, 30 young men every week. And we had our biggest game of the season. It was the final. And one guy said, well, I'm good, so the Lord's going to accept me, right? That's what they all believe. And I said, well, it doesn't work like that. That's not what the Bible says. What do you mean? You just ruined my whole life. I thought I was going to be good and the Lord was going to accept me. And I said, no. And I started sharing the gospel with them. And then my brother got out his cell phone and started looking Bible verses up, and he would read the Bible verses and we would explain to him. And it was him and 15 other young men, and we just shared the gospel for about 10 minutes. Now, three of the kids were like, okay, the game's going to start. And they went out to the court, and they're yelling from the court, get out here, we're supposed to play. You know, and we just continued to share the gospel. Now, pray for these young men. It's a great opportunity. The other thing that I like is they call me the big pastor, and they call my brother the little pastor. That's our nickname. Now, why? Because we're pastors. They don't understand why we're there in Argentina. Well, you can go to the States. Why are you here? We're here to share the gospel. And so it's one of the worst places I've ever been in, but that's what the Lord wants me to do, is share the gospel with those people. So pray with us that the Lord will save some of those young men. I mean, it would make a great difference. I mean, the Lord could just use that tremendously in that ministry. And so pray for that opportunity. Let me share with you, that this isn't us personally, but it's Javier. He also wants to get involved in, there we go. Javier likes to do shushitsu. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's kind of like a martial arts, karate, wrestling. I don't understand any of it, but he loves it. And he does this two or three times a week, and he also wants to use it as a ministry opportunity. Right next to him is his teacher. He actually went on a trip down south with him to some tournament and was able to share the gospel with him and just pray for his teacher. I don't remember his name right now, but pray as Javier uses this as a ministry tool to share the gospel. That's Javier right in the middle there, and he meets with about 20 people every week for three times a week at night. And so he's got great opportunities to share the gospel, and his goal is to do the same thing we're doing and use the opportunities the Lord has given him. So pray for Javier and his ministry outreach there. Verse 4. The last object of our prayer, verse 4 says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to think, other than Jesus, right, who would be the person that would know more about salvation than anybody else? Who would I like to talk to about soteriology? I would say the Apostle Paul, right? That's where we get most of our knowledge about soteriology. And so I would say, I want to talk to Paul about sharing the gospel. What do you do? How do you interact with them? How do you get their attention? And look at what Paul's asking for. Paul is saying that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The idea of that is that I will be clear, that I will say the words that the Lord wants me to say. Now, Paul knows all about soteriology, more than we even know. And Paul is saying, pray for me. Pray that I won't go on rabbit trails. Pray that I will be clear, direct. Tell them the gospel, that they'll understand it, and that the Lord will work in their lives. That's what Paul's saying. We pray for open doors, but we need to pray that we'll be clear, that the Lord will use the gospel message as we go to save some. And Paul was saying, pray that I'll be clear, that I'll speak the way I need to. Now, the picture here, it's not about us per se, it's for the future. We want you to pray for all these needs, for all these opportunities. But we also invest in future discipleship so that the Lord will use other people. We want you to pray that we'll be clear. That's what we try to do. But we also want you to pray for the future, that the Lord will use young men and women in our church to continue to share the gospel in Argentina. So let me just share with you two quick slides. Our discipleship ministry. This is Fabian. He's a young man from Colombia. He came down to Argentina to study, and I think he's been there 7 years now, or 6 years. And 5 years ago, he liked a young lady in our church. You may be familiar with Dr. Ferro, right? You've heard of Dr. Ferro, the pediatrician surgeon that saved and goes to Torquato. Well, his daughter is the lady he liked. And so he went to church, where she invited him to church. And so he said, I'm going to go. And he went on Sunday, and he didn't really like it. But they had a youth conference that was coming up in the Andes Mountains. And so they invited him to that. He's like, I'm going to go. And so he went, obviously, because he liked the girl. On that trip, 5 years ago from this week, because they just got back this yesterday from this trip, 5 years ago, he received Christ as his personal Savior on that trip. And it's been exciting to see. 3 years ago when we started a church, he's like, I want to go with you. And so he came, joined our ministry, and just young man with a lot of potential, very intelligent, and just loves the Lord tremendously. He's a great help in ministry, and I've had an opportunity to sit down with him, and we're going through a book, studying the Bible together, and going through discipleship. But every time before we start, he's like, I just have a few questions about church, about spiritual life, about... And we talk for 2 hours, and then we're like, we didn't even get to the book. I'm like, well, the book, you know, that's going to help us, but we need to talk about all these things. And it's been exciting to have a young man that's just has questions about his Christian life and how to grow and how to better serve the Lord, etc. One of the things that we just added in our ministry, is an app, a church app, okay? Now, a lot of churches have them. What we did is, since we have five churches, we said we're going to get an app together, pay it between all the churches, and the idea is to have every message, every sermon added to the app so that it will be a great instrument. There are not a lot of things in Spanish, good material to listen to, and so the idea is to have a great resource for all the churches to have and to download and to listen to messages from good expository preachers. And so Fabian, actually, 6 months ago said, we need an app. I'm like, we're not there. We're not going to be able to use an app. Well, he pushed long enough. We got the app running about a month ago, and he's in charge of all of that. He gets the messages. We're done preaching, and an hour later, it's on the app. It's on the website, and he deals with all that stuff and has been a great, great blessing to the ministry there. So pray for Fabian. We don't know if he's going to return to Colombia and be used by the Lord or if he's going to stay in Argentina, but we do know that he loves the Lord, is on fire to serve the Lord, always asking how he can help, and has been a great, great addition to our ministry there. And so pray as he wants to share the gospel with others as well. Secondly, and final, this is Renato and Magali. I showed you a picture of them. Like I said, Renato started coming about 6 months ago to our church, and he's from São Paulo, Brazil, actually, and he moved to Argentina about 4 years ago and didn't really like any of the churches he went and visited, and when he told me which ones they were, I understand why. They weren't really preaching the gospel and just a lot of other things, and so he met Magali, and Magali brought him to our church, and he has just been excited about learning and growing in the Lord, and he actually comes to our English classes, and just one neat thing about him, he knows 11 languages. And he doesn't just, you know, some say, oh, I know 11 languages. No, he knows 11 languages. He can speak them, and, you know, and so he comes to our English class, and he has been a great addition there. And then there was a lady that's German that came to our class, and he started speaking German with her, and he knows Portuguese, and he knows Spanish, and he knows Hebrew, and just, I mean, 11 languages. And so very intelligent young man, but he, I don't know how the Lord's going to use him, but he's really excited, growing in the Lord. Looking forward and making decisions about marrying Magali, and who knows how the Lord's going to be using them. The other thing is, Romina spent a lot of time with Magali as well. She's been with us for 8.5 years. She was in children's ministry with us, and we've had a lot of opportunities to disciple her, help her grow in her spiritual life. And so we're praying. We don't know how the Lord's going to use them, but we're praying as we're investing in their life that they'll continue to share the gospel and grow and be able to disciple people in the future. One last slide. Mary Slessor said, my life is one long, daily, hourly record of answered prayer. I can testify with a full and often wonder-stricken awe that I believe God answers prayer. I know God answers prayer. That's why we need to be thankful, right? However, do you make prayer a priority in your life? Is it a priority? If it's not, decide to make it a priority. You'll sacrifice to be able to pray. Second, don't just pray for health needs, for job. Those are all good things. Pray for open doors. Pray that, you know, one thing that I learned is I said, Lord, give me open doors. And what did he say? They're already there. Pray for open doors at your job, at your school, in your neighborhood, even in your family maybe. Pray for open doors, and the Lord's going to give you open doors. And then pray, Lord, let me share the gospel clearly, and that people might receive Christ as their personal Savior. Pray for our ministry. And I hope you kind of have a better idea, specific names and needs. Pray for our ministry. Pray for us that we will continue to share the gospel. Pray that the Lord will continue to bless us in that ministry and that we'll be able to see people saved, disciple them, and that they will go out and reach others for Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the words that the Apostle Paul gives us here in Colossians. Lord, we pray that it will be our desire, that it will be our priority to spend time in prayer, that we will sacrifice time for it, that there will be nothing that will take us away from our time in prayer with you. And Lord, when we pray specifically, we want to be thankful because we know that you already answer. You're in control of everything. You know what's best for us. And we pray, Lord, that you will open doors for the gospel. Give us open doors. Give us opportunities. Give us the boldness to share the gospel with others. And Lord, give us the blessing of seeing people receive Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, we pray that we will continue to be faithful like Paul was. We pray for this church that they will continue to be faithful, sharing the gospel, preaching the Bible, and taking the gospel everywhere. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this congregation, bless our ministry in Argentina, and I pray that we will glorify your name through it all. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.